The Blues stave off elimination thanks to a former Maple Leaf forward. And speaking of former Leafs, Nazem Kadri got a standing, amazing ovation from the Colorado faithful, which we'll talk about. And then we're going to play a little bit of Leafs-related co-sign, no-sign on today's show. That's what we got on tap and more on today's edition of Locked On Leafs.
Your Locked On Maple Leafs, your daily podcast on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Leafs podcast, your one-stop shop for all things Leafs. I'm your host, Mike DiStefano, from TSN 1050 Toronto Radio, also known as Al's Brother on TSN's Overdrive and TSN 1050's Leafs Lunch. Joining me, it's my co-host, Dave Morisuti from Sportsnet, also writer for the NHLPA. Locked On Leafs is a daily Maple Leaf-centric podcast, so be sure to subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts from if you haven't already. Also, check us out through video format on YouTube, Locked On Leafs. Smash that subscribe button. We're still on our road to 1,000. Once we clear the 1K mark, we're giving away a Leafs jersey, so you're going to want to make sure that you subscribe and share with all your friends. We need all of Leafs Nation. There are millions of Leaf fans out there on the internet and perusing the YouTubes. So let's get these guys locked in here to Locked On Leafs. All right, Dave, we're going to chat a little bit about what we just saw last night, the Avs and Blues. We're getting down to it where it's one game a night. It's really getting to that point in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And, you know, last night's game was fantastic. It really had a bit of a Bills-Chiefs, like, playoff-type feel. You remember that Bills-Chiefs game this year where it was just a shootout in the fourth quarter? They're going back and forth, and then just when you think one team had won it, then the Chiefs came back and tied it up and won it in overtime. That's literally exactly what happened in this Avs and Blues game. Former Maple Leaf Tyler Bozak scoring the overtime game winner to stave off elimination in Game 5 and force a Game 6 going back to St. Louis. And I got to ask you, like, what we saw happen with Kadri with the hat trick in the last game. You know, the other night we see Zach Hyman doing his thing. Now we get to see Tyler Bozak out here getting OT game winners. Is part of the Leafs playoff curse the fact that we also have to sit here and watch all these former Maple Leafs just go on and have great success in the playoffs? Is that part of the curse?
I should have pulled up the tweet because somebody put out every time a player gets traded from the Leafs, and it's a picture of a bunch of Gretzky's skating on the ice. It kind of makes a lot of sense. So, like, Hyman, Kadri, Tyler Bozak, Frederick Anderson, like, all these guys were
Carter Verhaeghe,
even Mason Marchman for a good chunk.
Yeah, it's really something. Something that we got to live with as Maple Leaf fans. But Tyler Bozak, you pulled out this stat about Bozy tonight. Now, he scores the overtime game winner, but what was the crazy stat that you told me right before we hopped on here about that game-winning goal?
I'm going to throw it up here so then all the folks on our YouTube channel watching this can see it, but I'm going to also zoom in. Tyler Bozak hadn't had a shift since the 10:44 mark of the second period. First shift in overtime. Scores one of the big goals of his career.
Holy moly. The guy didn't play for the second half of the game, literally.
Yeah. He didn't play he literally sat on the bench for half the game. Then they're like, you're going out for overtime for a shift. And he scores that goal.
Oh, wow. Now, it wasn't a great goal, I'll tell you that. But
no, it was not. It's a goal that Darcy Kuemper should have stopped.
You should have stopped that one. Absolutely. I mean, maybe you screened a little bit. There was a little bit of traffic in front, but
you put it on that.
That's one you need to have in overtime, especially after you already gave up a 3-goal lead. I mean, the Blues were down 3-0 in this game, down 3-0. And then they stormed back, made it 3-3. And then Nathan MacKinnon scored the most outrageous goal that I have seen in a long time, and it capped off a hat trick, and that place was buzzing. The crowd was alive, and I wish that would have stood as the game-winning goal, because how amazing would that have been? Let's pull up this goal so the people on YouTube can watch what we're talking about here. And if you're just listening through audio form, you got to go and check it out on you know, you'll see it all over SportsCenter, the highlight reel.
If you haven't seen the goal by now, you guys are like, I don't know, you guys are missing out.
It's all over Twitter. It's everywhere. This is one of the most amazing coast-to-coast goals that I have honestly seen. I can't remember the last time I saw something this amazing in the playoffs where it meant, you know, there was so much gravity towards this goal. I know the guys on the broadcast were talking about, you know, like Mario Lemieux against the Minnesota North Stars as like a comparison to how it made them feel. Let's hit play on this bad boy and watch this beautiful play here. So he literally picks up the puck from behind his own net, skates it all the way down the ice by himself, deeks past the defender.
Who was number four there? I wish I knew who number four on the Blues was.
We can check. We can check in a moment, but goes from backhand to forehand quickly and snaps it up over the goaltender top corner. Just an unbelievable. I think it's Bobby. Is that Bobby Bortuzzo number four?
I thought he was 44.
Maybe he was 44, but that was just an outstanding goal, man. It just such a beauty. Probably one of the greatest goals in the playoffs that I've seen in a long time. And I couldn't help but feel, Dave, and this is Locked On Leafs, so of course we're going to try and tie it back to the Maple Leafs. Honestly, for sure. Like, my first feeling was, wow. Like, when I heard the crowd absolutely alive, singing like Blink 182, all the small things, and that building just popped. And all I could think in the back of my head was, I wish Austin Matthews had delivered a moment like that for the Leafs fans in Scotiabank Arena. Like, we never really got that moment in these playoffs.
No, we really didn't. And like, oh, it was Nick Leddy, by the way. That's why I didn't recognize the number. I forgot Nick Leddy was even on the St. Louis Blues. He had four assists in this game, if I'm not mistaken, actually. Yeah. He was a beast for the Blues. But it just goes to show that Nathan MacKinnon, when his team was basically, they thought they were going to go away and win that game. They tie it up. So what does he do? Decides, all right, I got this. And like, once he picked up steam, no one was stopping him. He was like, he was gone. No one was going to stop him from scoring. That's what a superstar player, that's what they're capable of doing. They'll take over the game and there's nothing you can do about it. And yeah, I wish we had seen that a little bit more from the star players, at least, especially in a game like this. Now, it didn't work out, unfortunately.
That's not his fault, man. That's definitely not Nate MacKinnon's fault. He did more than enough to will his team into the next round. I mean, scoring that goal at that time after St. Louis had just tied it, all the momentum was tilting in their end, and he takes the puck from behind his own net, goes 200 feet, and roofs it, going through like three different St. Louis Blues on his way to getting that goal. I mean, it certainly wasn't his fault. And you know, to me, Darcy Kuemper, a game that he's going to want to probably forget about as he heads back to St. Louis. And I wonder now how much it's going to be in the back of their minds. Like, the pressure is now on Columbus or on Colorado now, realistically.
Yeah, no, for sure. Because here's the thing. That's that game. The Blues have to feel really good about themselves because they're now going back home. They just win one, and then it's a whole new series, mm-hmm. right? Yep. So this is where, you know, the Colorado, for, you know, as many chirps as I have seen from fans, I there's one person I know who's a big Avs fan who always chirps about the Leafs. Colorado Avalanche haven't exactly had a lot of playoff success themselves, right? You know, if they had won tonight, it would have been their first trip to the Western Conference Final since 2002.
Yeah, Patty Waugh days.
Right. So, okay, I understand the Leafs aren't exactly the model of success for the playoffs. No. But the Avs, since the Joe Sakic days, haven't exactly been a beacon of, you know, playoff, great playoff aspirations themselves. So Yeah, this is they themselves have had to go over a big hump. And it, like, the last 2 years have been very disappointing, like losing to Dallas in the bubble. And then
they were down to Michael Hutchinson between the pipes for that series, if you recall.
Hey, you just find a way, man.
Oh, I guess. Yeah, you're right. I guess they could have found a way, but we'll give them a little bit of slack on that one. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, this series has now gone very intriguing, that's for sure.
Yeah, it certainly has. It's definitely gotten a little intriguing. I got an intriguing question for you. Why don't we take a break, and on the other side, I'll ask that question. And I also just want to show a couple of videos and photos that were kind of floating around of, you know, the Colorado Avalanche crowd just really, it was just like heartfelt. Their appreciation of Nazem Kadri tonight after what he had to endure in St. Louis. He comes back to Colorado and, you know, Avalanche faithful cheering him on, chanting his name. There's a great story about this fan who apparently had a bunch of signs made up, you know, I stand with Naz, and we'll show you all that on the other side. But first, Dave, I want to tell the good folks listening to the show about our show sponsor, and that is Built Bar.
All right, here we go, folks. We've been asking, and guess what? Built has delivered. Built granola bars are here. Built granola bars come in three unbelievable flavors: chocolate peanut butter, chocolate coconut, and white chocolate berry. Oh, white chocolate berry. Want to try all three flavors? You can get a mixed box over at built.com right now. These are so different from the bars and the puffs. Built granola bars are loaded with granola. It's the perfect combination of crunch and chewiness. It's not, but just like the bars and the puffs, these babies are packed with protein and covered in 100% real chocolate. With 150 calories, 15 grams of protein, and only 4 grams of sugar, Built granola bars will change your world. Built has cracked the code to better granola. The perfectly healthy snack to pack in your lunch, take on the road, or eat as a snack. So if you've been waiting for a healthy and delicious granola bar to hit the market, this is your time. Head to built.com right now to get the Built granola bars, 3 delicious flavors to try, as I mentioned before. I'm most likely going to try to get the chocolate peanut butter because I'm a big sucker for peanut butter. So don't miss out and get yours today. Use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your order. That's right. You're going to get 15% off if you use the promo code LOCK15 over at built.com.
Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano, Dave Morrissey with me. We're your hosts here at Locked On Leafs, a daily Maple Leaf-centric podcast with new episodes coming out Monday to Friday, and we keep it going. The Leafs are eliminated, but we're still staying around with y'all for Leafs Nation to provide you that daily content. You can find us wherever you find your audio podcasts, also up on YouTube as well. Dave, the question that I am going to pose to you is one that I think it might be a little bit of an unfair question to ask today in particular, but the game that we just saw Nathan MacKinnon have really got me thinking. You know, for if you were starting a franchise today, Dave, would you build around Nathan MacKinnon or Austin Matthews?
Okay, so my first, I'm going to counter and say, is salary, are we on equal footing with the salary? Or are we?
Contracts aside.
That's such a good question. I still think Austin Matthews, what he can do at both ends of the ice, is so valuable. I will still pick Austin Matthews, but I'll say this, it is very close. It's almost like, well, when you see Nathan MacKinnon do it with a goal like that, that's how he can change a game. I just think Austin Matthews, given that opportunity, he's not, you know, he's quiet about it too, right, at times with his play. So I'm still going to go Austin Matthews, but Nathan MacKinnon is really close by. Like, if I'm going with the top three in the NHL right now, it's McDavid, it's Matthews, it's MacKinnon. That's the top three right now.
Yeah, it's you could definitely make an argument either way. I think it's nearly a coin flip at this point with those guys. You kind of talked about how Matthews is a little bit more quiet when it comes to, you know, his success. And in a way, that kind of bugs a lot of people. It bugs Leafs Nation how kind of quiet he is out there on the ice. He doesn't have enough emotion, where Nathan MacKinnon, that guy, hard on his sleeve. Like, last year when they got eliminated in the playoffs, you know, he came out and he's like, I haven't won squat. Like, we haven't done anything. Like, there's nothing to be proud of about the season we had. We got to win, and that's what we're going to do next year. That was the attitude that Nathan MacKinnon had last season. That's not necessarily the attitude that we heard out of Leafs brass and out of Austin Matthews last Tuesday when they did their locker cleanout. They were very happy with the way that things went, how close they were, how they did good things in the regular season. It's just like, you know, the fire that Nathan MacKinnon gives you and the way that fire, he's able to fuel it into a game-breaking performance like that at a big moment in big time. Maybe, like I said, this is just, I'm answering this today after just watching MacKinnon do what he did, and I haven't watched Matthews play in a couple of weeks. But man, like, I might go Nathan MacKinnon.
Here's what I'll say in kind of against Nathan MacKinnon too. He's achieved almost, like, he's hasn't achieved as much as Austin Matthews either. I mean, he has won a round. You can give him that. But he hasn't taken. Yeah, like, but he hasn't taken his team to a cup final.
Nope.
He hasn't, like, we talk about how Austin Matthews, we wish he step up in these moments. Like, this is, Nathan MacKinnon has stepped up, no doubt about it. But he's also hasn't really achieved what a guy like Connor McDavid has taken the Oilers quite,
yes,
I think, further than Nathan MacKinnon has. So that's where I'm about that. But yeah, no, I still think Nathan MacKinnon, I don't know if you ever remember, he actually got like a sports psychologist when he had his worst season ever, and it's changed the way he's played. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe there's something to the...
Well, the Leafs, they did go out and get Greg Harden. Was it Greg Harden was the guy who they went and got, the sports psychologist, the guy who, like, literally worked with Tom Brady and Michael Phelps and all these greats. Mm-hmm. And Hall of Famers from around the sports world. So they did go out and get those guys. And, you know, a couple of players who had great seasons attribute that to Greg Harden. I think Mitch Marner has, you know, applauded him a couple of times. Jack Campbell for getting his mindset ready. You know, so they have that guy. It's there. But to me, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force him to drink, right? Like, you can tell him as a sports guy psychologist all you want about how to be great and be better and how to think. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to flip this internal switch yourself. And I know Matthews has it in him. I've seen it happen in the regular season. I need to see it happen in the playoffs. And when I'm watching Connor McDavid do right now, what I just saw Nathan MacKinnon do, I know they lost the game, so it takes a little
bit. They should have won. He gave them enough to win that game. That was
4 points and a hat trick. I mean, the guy flipped the switch. It's hockey. It's not a game where one guy can truly, you know, drag you, but he did it as much as he possibly could, especially with that
goal. Andre Vasilevsky would say differently, I will say.
Fair enough. Although.
As a player, a skater on the ice, when you're only out there for what? At most 22, 23 minutes if you're Nathan MacKinnon. Yeah.
I don't know how many games Vasilevsky also would be able to win if, you know, Kucherov, Stamkos, Hedman, Sergachev, McDonough weren't in front of him either.
He doesn't score the goals. That's
hockey's fair. Like an idea. Hockey and football to me are the ideal team sports where, you know, one guy can't win it for you like you see in basketball. But, you know, MacKinnon and McDavid are kind of starting to flirt with that mentality where they kind of are saying, hey, I'll hop on my back, boys. Let's go through to the next round. I mean, McDavid's doing that 100%. And by him doing that, he's seeing everybody else elevate their game around him. And, you know, MacKinnon did that tonight. We'll see if they can end up moving forward. You know, there was just a little bit, I know Matthews has it in him. I know he does. I just want to see it happen in the playoffs. when it matters. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to have that moment that where, you know, McKinnon scored to make it 4-3 on that unbelievable coast-to-coast goal, and the building erupted. I didn't get that with Austin Matthews in the playoffs. No. We didn't. The closest we got was that pop pass, which was awesome, but it wasn't the same. You know what I mean? It just wasn't the same.
The closest we had was game five when they scored that winning goal. The winning goal. Where Marner shoots the, like, it was a it was a rebound goal. I get that, but it, like, that was kind of like, oh, the Stars kind of, like, you know, they got the job done. They put the game away. Like, that's the closest we kind of got to it in that series, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Really quickly before we play some cosine no sign, I want to talk about the reception that Nazem Kadri got today in Denver. I thought it was fantastic. Do you want to start with the sign, the photo that was taken pregame and warmups, and talk a little bit about the signs that were created? I saw a tweet, so I'm assuming this is correct. Realistically, I'm kind of just assuming whatever report I saw. But you see these signs that say "Stand with Naz." Somebody, like a fan, quite literally printed these out and brought them to the game, hundreds of them, and placed them in seats so that everybody in their section, I think, and potentially around, I don't know how many people had them, but probably a lot. And, you know, as, like, in solidarity with Nazem Kadri after the nonsense that he had to endure the other day, you know, when he was back in St. Louis. And this is just amazing. Like, you see everybody stand with Naz, and, you know, it's a great photo. If you're listening to it, you know, I'm trying to describe it for you. It's just a bunch of signs that say stand with Naz, and he's standing there, obviously, right next to all of them.
It's a great photo.
It's a great photo. I tweeted it out, so you can go check out my Twitter at @Mickey_Canuck. And you could see it. And then later in the game, there was we could bring up the chant. This was in the middle of a TV commercial break where they were literally just chanting, like, Kadri, Kadri, Kadri. And it was just – it almost gave me goosebumps, man. And so, yeah, I think –
And you see him at the end. If you pay attention to the video board, you can see him kind of like nod and approve.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's gotta feel so good, man. Could you imagine? Like,
incredible.
Oh, incredible. Yeah. I tell you what, the Avalanche fans are doing their part to try and get Naz to stay on a hometown discount. Because after a night like that, if I was Joe Sakic, I would be calling up Naz and be like, hey, you want to sign an extension here? Or like let's just get this thing hammered out. Because that guy's got to feel so loved by that market right now. And look, he was loved in the Toronto market too, right? Like, he didn't want to go to Colorado, but now he's there. And after, you know, them supporting him after what had happened in St. Louis, like I said, the fans are doing their part to try and get Kadri to re-sign in Colorado. He's got a chance to get an absolute payday, you know, so I don't know if he's going to, but it was really kind of moving to see the crowd really, you know, get in Kadri's corner after a tough kind of week for him.
Yeah, it was amazing, because, like, that's where fans truly – that's the job of the fans. Yeah. Support your guy when he's going through a tough time. Now, I know the situations are different. I know the magnitude of the situation is completely different, but I'll never forget that John Tavares moment where he came back to Toronto the first game after that loss to the Islanders, in that first game where he had stuff thrown at him. He was pretty much made the villain for that entire game. And they, like, had that special moment with Tavares, and, like, people were, like, making fun of the Leafs fans for doing that. But, like, that's where fans come in. That's the impact that fans can have, because you can bring up a player when he's at his worst. The players, I truly believe that fans, that players feed off that energy from the fans. I think the coolest thing about this is, like, it's clearly something that was planned, because some people had, like, custom stand with Naz signs. So, like, this is something that Colorado fans truly got behind.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it shows, you know, we've heard a lot about the negativity of everything that Kadri has gone through. It's nice that on a night like this, we can talk about something a little bit different and provide maybe a little bit of hope of that something, things can be a bit different.
Yeah. So, you know, big night for a couple of former Maple Leafs. Nazem Kadri gets the love from the fans there in Colorado. And then Tyler Bozak scores the overtime game winning goal in his first shift since the 10:44 mark in the second period. An unbelievable stat. Unbelievable. Talk about a hunch at a Craig Berube to toss out Bozy for that OT winner and keep the season alive and send that thing back to St. Louis. All right, Dave, why don't we take one more break, and then on the other side, we're going to play some Cosign No Sign. It's been a couple of weeks since we played this, so I'm excited to get back on the saddle. And before we do, though, let me tell you guys all about BetOnline.ag. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest odds, news, and sport developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, the NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet online, it's where the game starts. Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano. Dave Morosutti with me. We're your hosts here at Locked On Leafs. This is one of our favorite segments that we like to do, and we typically do it once a week. And for whatever reason, it's been a couple of weeks since we've been able to do it. It's just been so busy with the playoffs kind of ending and, you know, press conferences and playoff games and whatnot. But excited to get back into the saddle and play once again. Cosign No Sign, Dave. If you are new to the podcast, first and foremost, thank you so much for giving us a chance. Hopefully you enjoyed the show and you can subscribe if you're listening via audio or on YouTube. But if it's your first time, the way the game works is Dave and I are going to say a statement to each other. And if we agree with it, we co-sign it. If we disagree with it, we no sign it. So that's essentially the gist. Dave, why don't you go first with your first statement?
All right. I'm going to come out swinging with the first one.
Okay.
The Toronto Maple Leafs decide not to sign Jack Campbell and trade for a goalie this offseason.
Oh, does it have to be a trade for a goalie? What if they sign a UFA?
Okay, how about this? They'll bring in a different goalie. I think it's likely a trade, but we'll generalize a bit.
So basically, neither Jack Campbell or Peter Mrazek will be the team's starter next season.
Correcto. Okay.
Man, I think I'm going to co-sign that. I really think I'm going to co-sign that. It just reading the tea leaves and, you know, reading all of the reports that I've seen out there, I've spoken with, you know, Darren Dreger and Chris Johnston, and they keep telling me that Campbell's camp and the Maple Leafs are pretty far apart in contract negotiations. And this is Campbell's one chance to get paid in his career. I mean, relatively, he's been very much underpaid the last couple of years at $1.6 million. He's got a chance to go out and make significantly more for him and his family for the rest of his life and maybe, you know, his future family. So I think that he is ultimately going to do that. And I'm not sure that the Maple Leafs are a team that's going to be willing to give him what he wants. Not even close to what he wants, to be honest with you. I personally would not sign Campbell for over $4 million. So therefore, I think he wants more than that. I think he'll get more than that. It'll be kind of a Zach Hyman situation where there's just a better opportunity elsewhere. So he's got to make that choice. And I'm hoping that Mrazek's not here. So I think that we'll see whether it's a free agent or a trade. Yes, I will co-sign that Campbell will not be back and someone else will be the starting goaltender for the Maple Leafs in the 2022-2023 season.
And what I'll add to that, because if you are a part of our Discord community, if you're not, I don't know what you guys are doing. You got to get on that. A lot of people seem to be on the John Gibson train. Ooh. Somebody brought up Varlamov, But a good point that somebody made in the Discord about Varlamov is that
$6 million.
The money and the fact he's been in a tandem the last few years with Sorokin. So, like, can he be a starter, like a full-fledged starter again?
I think he can. I don't worry about that at all when it comes to Varlamov. He's only a tandem because they have Sorokin. I don't think he's a guy who necessarily you'd be worried about. I mean, he's been a starter. Let me quickly pull up.
He's also 34, so he's also up there in the age.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's a guy who you're expecting to be a long-term goaltender. He's probably somebody who you're just going to grab for the next. I think he may only have one more year left on his contract anyways. Maybe a few years left, but I mean, this is a guy who's played, you know, 63, 57, 57, 51 games, you know,
seasons. It's just the last two seasons he's seen his workload go down. Even three. He had 39, like, since joining the Islanders, 39, 35, 29.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think he was hurt in that first year when he was with the Islanders. They only played 56 games in his second year with the Islanders. Well, I think he was tandem with Robin Lehner, actually. Was that the Lehner year?
One of them was the Lehner year. One of them was Thomas Greiss. Yes,
I think it was actually him and Lehner in 1920, perhaps. Could that have been it? Anyways, regardless, I don't feel he's a guy who I do feel comfortable playing 55 games. I don't think that's something that would worry me. It's more so the contract at 6 million sheets that I think would be tough. I mean, if we're struggling to pay Jack Campbell more than $4 million. I don't know if I'm too keen on paying Varlamov $6 million, which is why, you know, the other guy that has been named, John Gibson. I mean, he makes, I think, $6.8 million. I want to say somewhere in that neighborhood. That's kind of tough unless you can get Anaheim to retain. But I just don't see them doing that.
Much less on the contract for them to do that.
Yeah,
I will say Lehner was the year before, so he left just as
that's right. Varlamov. So Lehner signed in Vegas and then
he went to Chicago
and that's the year that Varlamov came over, right?
So Gibson is at $6.4 million until his deal is done. This is a situation though, if you're trading for a guy like John Gibson, you're telling Anaheim you're taking Peter Mrazek as part of the package. You have to give up. So you got to get to make the salary work.
Absolutely. But even with him out, yeah.
6.4 is a lot. It's funny because 6.4, not a terrible lot for a goalie, but for a team like the Leafs, that's a pretty penny.
It is. This is why I really do wonder if that's something. A couple other names that I saw, like some UFAs, Darcy Kemper's a UFA, but I don't think they'll be able to bring him in. Georgiev's a UFA, Korpisalo, Braden Holtby, if he's healthy.
Actually, didn't Korpisalo get re-signed with
Columbus? Oh, you know what? He did, actually. Recently, he re-signed, I think, for $1.5 million.
I'm a little surprised about that, actually.
Yeah.
Because he's on the outside.
And The Flower is technically a UFA. I don't know if he's going to want to, continue his career, but he's a UFA.
He said he does, but it's just a matter of, I think he's going to be very, very picky of where he signs.
So we'll see. But ultimately, I do believe that we're going to have a different goaltender between the pipes next season. All right, my first one for you, Dave. Mark Giordano will be the only significant pending UFA that returns next season.
Ooh, okay. So I have Cap Friendly up right now. So that means no Spezza, no Mikheyev, no Lyubushkin, and no Campbell. Are those the ones you're pretty much putting in there?
Blackwell would be in there as well.
Okay, so you're going to put Blackwell in that camp too?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to – man, the Jason Spezza one's a weird one. I feel like Spezza could come back just because of the reputation part of it. But that's a tough one. The other guys I don't see coming back. So I'll co-sign it, but only if Spezza decides he's not playing next season.
Interesting.
Because I think Mikheyev's gone. It's not that I don't want him back. It's just he's going to want money the Leafs can't pay him.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. The interesting, the only one that I'm kind of wondering on would be if they want to bring back Blackwell at a cheap deal, just because he played decent on the fourth line, I thought. But I think it depends what they want to do with the fourth line. If they want to get a little bit more meat back there, then maybe they do let Blackwell walk, and that's kind of the way that they can get it done.
That's what I'm thinking. I said, You got so many guys that are kind of fit the same profile. You got to bring in something different. Yeah. And Blackwell kind of fits what the Leafs already have a lot of.
Right. All right. Second one for you. Go ahead.
Second one for me was actually going to be about the defense. We kind of discussed this the other day, but I think I want a more definitive answer. Jake Muzzin does not return to the Leafs next season.
Oh, gosh. This one's so difficult. Like, I'm so 50-50 on this. I really, really am. I'm going to say no sign. They like Jake Muzzin. And I just, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm on. So here, I'll let's work through this, okay? So okay. This is why I'm struggling. On one hand, I think Jake Muzzin, what we saw in the playoffs when he was partnered with TJ Brody, that was a fantastic pairing. I think we could both agree with that. Their expected numbers were tremendous as well. They didn't give up a whole lot, and they were incredibly responsible in their own end. But if Brody ends up going back up to the top pair to play with Morgan Rielly, I don't know who fills in as that guy unless they find somebody in free agency to play alongside Jake Muzzin. And at this point, I'm not sure I'm sold on Muzzin as a top four guy if his partner isn't better than him to elevate his game at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. At his age, I think that he needs a little bit of help, right? So then I'm thinking, okay, well, who would replace him then? And then you're thinking, well, is Sandin ready to make that leap? Could they believe in Giordano that much where he could play a top four role? You know, so I'm kind of on the fence a little bit. But at the end of the day, I think the intangibles that Muzzin brings to this team, if they can find somebody to partner with Rielly, and maybe that's bringing back Lyubushkin or going out and getting another right-hand defenseman or making a swap. We talked about that before, you know, whether you give up like a Sandin or something to go out and get a piece. I'm going to – you said that he won't be back?
He does not return.
I'm going to no-sign it. I think he comes back. I do. I just think that you'd be asking too much of Gio and Sandin to fill in the void of Jake Muzzin, and I don't know if either of those guys are capable of doing so. So I'm going to say that he returns. And so, yeah, I'm gonna no-sign your statement there.
All right.
I've got an interesting one for you. Real interesting, Dave. John Tavares will finish out his current Leafs contract still with the C on his chest.
I'm going to co-sign it. I think it's very rare that you see the captaincy get taken away from a player.
You've seen it, though. You've seen it.
I've seen it. I remember when it happened in San Jose with Thornton and then Pavelski taking it.
Marlowe as well before that.
Right. They did it three times. I forgot about that.
And Dustin Brown giving it up to Anze Kopitar.
Giving it up is like, that's the thing. If Tavares gives it up, that's fine. But if the Leafs take it away from him, that's just a story. I'm not saying I have pressure, but it's just an unneeded story to feed this media market. I just don't think that does not sound like this front office. So I'm going to co-sign. I'm going to say he's going to finish with the C, and then you're going to see, like, I personally, if I had my pick, by the time his contract is done, Morgan Rielly is still signed here. That's who I would be giving the C to if Tavares is no longer with the Leafs.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that's a nice little carrot that could be dangled in 2 years when one Austin Matthews needs to return and maybe John goes up to AM 34 and says, hey, look, we need you here. You are our true leader. you deserve to have the C. You just got to sign on the dotted line, pal.
It would be a nice, I think it would be nice if there were some sort of succession plan. Now, even if Tavares stays, I think it would be nice if he did pass it on to someone because...
Oh, he could be signed an additional contract after this?
Yeah, because I do think... I don't know where he'd want to finish his career.
Yeah, it'd have to be like... He'd be a Toronto Greybeard, 800K type of guy.
Yeah, no, and like... But he's made his money, right? And you're kind of hoping that mostly...
Yes, he has.
Right? A lot of these guys will have made their money. Mark Giordano, I think, kind of set the retirement plan for a lot of guys in Toronto. Well,
Spezza started it, right? And Spezza, yeah. And then Simmer did the same thing last year. And now you got Gio. Who knows? Maybe. I mean, Tavares isn't as old as those guys. I think he only will be like 33 or 34 when that contract expires. It was, what, 3 years left on that thing? So he won't be as old as those guys and probably still has like one more decent contract in him if he wants it. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. All right. Go ahead. Your third one.
My third one. Actually, there was an article from Kevin McGran kind of talking about how the Leafs need some internal some guys from within.
Internal growth.
Internal growth. That. Thank you. That was the word. And so I'm going to put out this challenge to one Nick Robertson.
Ooh.
Nick Robertson breaks camp on not only makes the Leafs roster, but he becomes a fixation on that top six.
Oh, interesting. So Robertson. Okay, again, let me talk myself through it. So we're assuming that top line probably remains intact: Bunting, Matthews, Marner. Which means the second line, if there's no trades made, you're looking at Nylander, Tavares, and there's still an open wing position.
Correct, so because most likely McKayev doesn't come
exactly.
back.
Exactly. Do we, even if he does come back, I still would rather have somebody else in that position, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Do we believe that Nick Robertson can take that next step and... be a top, a legitimate daily top six winger who can help elevate Willie and Tavares? Do we believe that to be the case? Let me see exactly what we're dealing with here, because he ended up having a terrific he ended off the year with the Marlies really well. Ended up with 28 points in 28 games, 16 goals in that stretch down with the Marlies, played okay in the 10 games.
He was a point-per-game player with the Marlies, 16 goals, 28 points.
Yeah.
It was just injuries for him.
It was injuries. So maybe, like, if he's healthy, has a great offseason, I think that the Leafs are also in a situation where they may not be able to afford to bring somebody else in, and they may have to give him an opportunity if they don't make – if they don't make drastic changes to the top six, then yes, I believe that Nick Robertson will be given every opportunity to become that top six player that they want him to be, that they kind of need him to be at this point, a cheap little ELC contract. So yeah, I think I'll co-sign that with kind of the asterisk that they don't make massive changes like trading away a William Nylander and changing things up. Yeah, I think I'll co-sign it. I'll co-sign it. All right. Last one for you, Dave. The Maple Leafs. Mine's also prospect related. The Maple Leafs will deal a top prospect away this summer to land a win now piece. Co-sign or no sign?
So this is where I think that if you're going to try to make a big move, you're going to have to include some prospects or young players to sweeten the deal. So yeah, I will co-sign it because the Leafs desperately need something different in the top six. And I don't see it with internally. I don't see that player. So who can they trade for? I mean, we don't know because we don't know who's going to be available. Things change. I think the trade route might have to be their best route because like, I look at guys like Kerfoot. I look at a guy like, you know, even, I mean, if Nylander's name is out there, I mean, It all depends on who they decide. They decide we're not trading Nylander. They got to move other guys. And if you're going to trade a Kerfoot, you have to dangle younger pieces to entice a team to make a move like that. So, yeah, a prospect will likely be moved. So, yeah, I'm gonna co-sign that.
Do you have a particular prospect who you think could potentially be that guy that the Maple Leafs could dangle as trade bait?
Yeah, that's a tough one. So, like,
first rounder, could you see them dealing out that first round pick?
I think they're saving it for something.
Like
I think they're saving it for a trade. Like, let's say John Gibson is the guy they want to target. And you're Anaheim, you're likely asking for a first round pick.
Plus,
right? It could be the first round pick. It could be, you know, the Leafs are going to probably say you got to take Mrazek off our hands, and then they're going to ask for a bunch more. They're going to ask for prospects.
I got a package, and I just thought of this literally 10 seconds ago. I haven't put any thought into it, so
always the best
package. Bear with me, but Sandin, a first round pick, Peter Mrazek, and Alex Kerfoot for John Gibson.
So Mrazek, Kerfoot, like the salaries would make it work. So that's what I think. Like, you have to have, it's got to be equal money in and out.
Yeah.
I think Kerfoot would work nicely in Anaheim just to kind of bring along those younger guys. And he's versatile and they like the versatility with a lot of those guys. The age probably doesn't line up to exactly what they want, but you can't have a team with just a bunch of young players. It's just not feasible.
I mean, he's not. He's what, 26?
He is
25, 26. Yeah. Like, he's pretty young. I mean,
27.
Is he 27 now? Wow.
27.
Where is the time gone, Dave?
Dude, pandemic. If you think somebody is a certain age, add a year or two because the pandemic.
Honestly, I think that's what we need to do. Maybe he was 25 maybe when he got dealt to Toronto, and that's why I just have that stuck in my brain. Because yeah, he's our age, Dave. He's gonna be 28 this summer. Crazy.
So 94, best year ever.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, I think that's, like, I don't know. Let me know down below in the comment section if you think that's, is that too much? Like, who says no, right? Who says no? Sandin, maybe we can put this on Twitter as well, on our Twitter account, at Locked On Leafs. Who says no? Sandin, a first, Kerfoot, and Mrazek for John Gibson.
When you said who says no, it thinks back to, I'm going to out my outlet for a second here on Sportsnet, where we did a hypothetical trade. I can't remember who the trade was. I think it was a Bobrovsky trade. A trade for Bobrovsky, and legit the tweet said who says no, and it was a hypothetical trade, and people were losing their minds on the tweet. Wait, I remember the guy,
like, current Bobrovsky at 10 schmil.
No, this was like, oh, this was years ago. I wonder where
this would have been. Okay, back when he was like still on Columbus.
I think he was still on Columbus at the time. And like, he was not, I remember he had asked for out of Columbus. And I have to dig up that tweet somewhere and find it, because it was the most glorious thing. So when you said who says no, I'm like, oh, careful, I can land you in some hot water there.
Oh yeah, the who says no trades or trade proposals are always very, very interesting.
A lot of people will definitely say no.
Yeah, probably someone will say no. Maybe we can get
this. I'm going to bring it up right now. Just end the show. We'll end the show on this because I found it.
Maybe we can get Stumpy JD on the show. All right. Sergei Bobrovsky for Mike Smith, a first, and a prospect goaltender. Yeah. So, like, Mike Smith at the time, I think he was a pending UFA. So I don't even know why they would do that. A first round pick. This would have
been 2018. Yeah. And if you, like, read the article, like, fake trade, like, it was clearly, and people took it so seriously. Like,
let me see some of them.
Like, look at these. Why? Slow news day. Done. Like, oh, it was, yeah, see, like, reporting the tweet. Oh, it was a glorious day. I remember the person who tweeted that. And we're just like, it was quite a humorous day. So, if you ever put out who says no, I will always have that.
Jay, we're going to put this out on the Twitterverse on our Locked On Leafs account right now.
We're going to do that, I guess.
Like, if you go to our account right now, it is 1,000% there, and you can vote on it. You can vote on it. Anaheim or Toronto. Who says no? Go ahead.
Locked On Ducks Net podcast.
Well, we should get JD on here and see if we can hammer out a deal. I'll play the role of Kyle Dubas. He can play the role of Pat Verbeek, and maybe we can try and hammer something out. See what's fair on their end. See what we like. You know, it's the off season, Dave. We gotta fill content somehow. So I think a little role play trade negotiations. Let's set that up potentially next week. We'll set it up, pal.
We'll do it.
All right. That was fun. I always enjoy playing some cosine, no sign. But that's going to do it for us here today on the podcast. I'd like to thank you all for listening and supporting the show. You can subscribe to the Locked On Leafs podcast on all podcast platforms and receive daily Leafs content. Follow myself on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck. Follow Dave at D_Morasuti. Follow the show at Locked On Leafs. Smash that like button if you're watching on YouTube. Leave a comment as well. That would be much, much appreciated. Give us your goalie suggestions. Like, if you're looking to trade for a goalie, I want to see packages down below and see if you can do something better. I mean, I'll think on it. I might be able to do a little bit better than Sandin, First, Kerfoot, and Mrazek. But, yeah, leave it down below. If there's a goaltender you like and a trade package you can think about, toss that in the comment section. And also, leave a review for us on iTunes as well. That would be greatly appreciated. It all helps. All the feedback definitely helps us. All right, we'll be back with another episode tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. But until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On Leafs.